San Francisco celebrates World Series title.
Woo, Giants, baby!
But the party gets out of hand. Nurse battles Maine quarantine.
I'm fighting for something much more than myself.
Hawaii's creeping lava.
It's taking forever, and it's the uncertainty.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup.
Woo! Let's go, Giants!
The streets of San Francisco erupted last night as the Giants claimed their third World Series title in 5 years, but two people were shot and there was chaos.
Let's go!
Amid the cheering.
The celebration quickly turned sour when people jumped on cars, started trash fires, and threw hundreds of bottles at police.
I'm just trying to enjoy myself, but, you know,
that takes away from the good folks trying to have a good time,
it's
you know?
Not a good
we
game.
Just got off work. We're trying to have a good time and celebrate. It's these guys who are, like, you know, bringing all the riot police out. You know, that's not what we really want.
Police finally dispersed the crowd around midnight. They made at least 4 arrests. Bob Butler, CBS News, San Francisco.
This is Steve Futterman in Kansas City. For the Giants, it was World Series jubilation once again.
And the Giants have won! They have won the World Series!
A call by John Miller on the Giants radio network as San Francisco beat the Kansas City Royals 3-2 in a Game 7 showdown. Giant manager Bruce Bochy.
We know how hard it is to get here one time and win one time, but to do 3 in 5 years, it truly does amaze me.
The star of the game was San Francisco pitcher Madison Bumgarner. On just 2 days' rest, he pitched 5 scoreless innings in relief. Royals manager Ned Yost.
You know, Madison Bumgarner, man, what can you say about him?
And last night's win was historic, the first time a visiting team has won Game 7 since 1979. Steve Futterman, CBS News at the World Series in Kansas City.
Today is the day a standoff over quarantine rules between a defiant nurse who treated Ebola patients and the state of Maine could escalate. Live to CBS's Heather Bosch.
The nurse walked out of her Maine home to say,
we need to educate ourselves and think about the whole issue, not just the fear.
Casey Hickox says she has no Ebola symptoms and is not contagious, but the state is seeking a court order to keep her quarantined until November 10th, when the 21-day incubation period for the virus is up. State Health Commissioner Mary Mayhew.
There are other cases where individuals have not tested positive and quickly developed symptoms while they were out in the public.
Dr. Craig Spencer went on a subway and bowling before he was hospitalized for Ebola in New York.
The lava flow from the Kilauea volcano on Hawaii's Big Island is now invading farmland, and dozens of homes remain threatened.
It's a slow-moving torture.
Paul Utes runs a cafe whose days could be numbered.
Well, I'm about a block away from it, and it's not a very wide flow, so I plan on remaining open.
Some residents have left the area. Officials say the lava is now 225 yards from the main road. Government safety officials are telling an airbag manufacturer to make replacement parts faster and do more testing to find out what's causing them to blow apart, sending metal shards flying. The recall of Takata airbags by several automakers now covers nearly 8 million American vehicles. The Obama administration's got an important new rule for for-profit colleges. Live to White House correspondent Peter Mayer.
And Steve, schools that turn out graduates unable to pay off student loans could lose access to federal student aid programs. These new standards cover for-profit schools that train people for careers in medicine, trucking, food service, and other fields. The Education Department rule, set to take effect next July, is aimed at improving results and ending any aggressive recruiting by for-profit schools. A school group describes this move as unfair to career-based programs.
In 5 days, voters will go to the polls. Nationally, control of the U.S. Senate is at stake. Locally, the issues vary state to state. In part one of a series, CBS's Barry Bagnano takes us to Georgia.
Like much of America, Georgia has an economy that's slow to recover, the nation's highest jobless rate. And while Atlanta's experiencing a building burst, here, just a few miles away on Jimmy Carter Boulevard, empty space is plentiful. Only one business seems solid. Pawn shops. At Dynasty Jewelry and Loan, Ben Levinson sees
homeless people to, quite frankly, Fortune 500 executives.
Cabinets gleam with high-end jewelry and watches.
Rolexes and Movados and others. It's very difficult right now for people. They've got to do something.
Sid Kuhn, who runs a small gutter and roof business, needs to regularly pawn equipment.
If you're a small mom-and-pop business and you don't have a lot of operating capital, you have to pay your workers.
At popular Fox Brothers Barbecue, diners agree with the polls the economy's concern number one.
The middle class is diminishing more and more, and that's real sad to me.
I don't see government as a whole doing what I think they were charged to do.
This issue shaping the close Senate race here. Republican David Perdue blames President Obama. Democrat Michelle Nunn highlights Perdue's boast that he spent much of his career sending manufacturing overseas. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Norcross, Georgia.
A man talked about as a possible Republican presidential candidate, Chris Christie, went toe-to-toe with a critic at a Superstorm Sandy recovery event. WCBS Radio's Alex Silverman.
We know. The governor tried to brush off Jim Keaty, who was holding a sign that said, finish the job.
I'm just holding him accountable for what he has said.
Somebody like you who doesn't know a damn thing about what you're talking about, roll up your sleeves and do something for the people of this state.
The former Asbury Park councilman says that hurt.
I stopped work for a month. I volunteered in Delmar, the town that I grew up in. Every day.
He tried to tell that to Christie, who finally shouted,
sit down and shut up.
Well, can Beethoven or the Beatles,
when I get older, losing my head,
or any kind of music help dementia patients? Researchers at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee want to find out. 1,500 nursing home patients will be given iPods, and their mental state will be compared to those who don't get the devices. Similar studies will be done in Utah and Ohio. Whatever tickets are left in Cleveland are going for upwards of $800 each for LeBron James' return to the Cavaliers, who open their NBA season tonight.
I am going to be extremely excited and happy to be back on this floor. The meaning is still the same as me preparing for a long journey to try to win a championship.
James won two titles with Miami after leaving Cleveland in 2010. Is a country where soccer is king ready for some football, American style? Here's CBS's Larry Miller.
London wants an NFL franchise. An independent report says a pro football team would generate at least $160 million a year for the British economy. 80,000 fans pack into London's Wembley Stadium whenever the NFL rolls into town. Three games this year and three next. NFL executive Mark Waller.
We definitely feel that we have real momentum and a real path forward.
The British government says it'll do everything it can to get an NFL team, including a package of enticing tax breaks. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
In a piece in Bloomberg Businessweek, Apple chief Tim Cook says he's proud to be gay. He's the highest-profile American CEO to come out. While it's his first public acknowledgement, Cook says he's been open about it with Apple employees. That's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.